Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I am so happy that you are all here today. Whether you're joining us here in church, you're joining us online, it is good for us to be part of God's people giving thanks and prayer and praise to God. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. It's actually the last Sunday before Lent begins. More on that in a moment. But today is the day when we witness with Peter, James, and John the transfiguration of our Lord and when we discover the power of that transfiguration for our lives. I'm so glad that you are with us today. This coming Wednesday, February 14th, most of the world thinks that that's Valentine's Day. For us this year, it's Ash Wednesday, and it is the beginning of our Lenten journey together. We will hold services here at St. John's at 1 o'clock in the chapel and at 7 o'clock in the evening on Ash Wednesday. And you are free to and encouraged to come and join us for those worship services. Also this year, we will be holding midweek Lenten services then a week from this Wednesday. Those services on those next five Wednesdays begin at 7 p.m. And this year, we're actually looking at the prophet windows, those Old Testament windows that are there on the east side of our sanctuary. And we will learn from those prophets, from their messages, and for our lives. So join us for those midweek Lent services. Also on Transfiguration Sunday, I have usually told you weeks before that this is the day, if you still have a palm branch in your house, you could bring it by. All right, the cats got all of ours at the house, so we don't have any, but I have some in my office. If you have some and would like to contribute as I burn those palm branches on Tuesday, you can drop them off by at the office tomorrow or even Tuesday morning, but we do have enough also, so it's not as if we're desperate. But if you would like to be part of that and help make those contributions, please drop those palm branches off. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them and discover all of the ways that you can connect to ministries around us. But we've gathered this morning to continue our prayer and our praise and our thanksgiving. We have gathered to be in worship, so let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Can I Ascend? Let us rise and sing together.
Transform my
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the resplendent light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. Transfigure us by your beloved Son and illumine the world with your image through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First lesson is from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. And they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 9th chapter. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What did Peter, James, and John see on that Mount of Transfiguration? From the story we just read from Mark's Gospel, it seems that they saw a lot of different stuff. But to me, the fundamental question remains, what did they really see in the midst of all of that stuff? Now, as I was preparing for today, as I was reading different commentators and things, you know, we are often encouraged to look at this Transfiguration story as an amazing theological encounter, all right? Because in this moment, on that mountain, Jesus reveals his divine nature in the dazzling glory of his glowing and his white clothes. Jesus is also placed squarely in the stream of God's salvific history, God's story of salvation with humanity when Moses and Elijah arrive. But Jesus is also exalted over the law and the prophets, also by the presence of Moses and Elijah. In this moment, Jesus is foreshadowing his own death, and more importantly, his resurrection. And it's all of this amazing stuff that's going on. And Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of all of it. But in the midst of all of those things, what I really believe that these disciples saw is Jesus. They see Jesus completely and fully. They see Jesus in all his glory. And then also urging them back into the struggle that is life. They see Jesus completing the work of Moses and Elijah, of the law and the prophets, and then leading them back down the mountain to make that real. It is Jesus they see. It is Jesus they meet in his entirety. And we get to meet him too. You see, at the beginning of our reading, Jesus has selected this small cadre of his disciples to make this trip up the mountain. Peter, James, and John were among the first disciples that Jesus chose. These three will then also go farther into the Garden of Gethsemane on that night when he is betrayed. These three, Peter, James, and John, have a special relationship with Jesus. Now we are included in that group. We are included in that group. Thomas wasn't there, but you are. Nathaniel wasn't there, but you are. Andrew isn't there, but you and I, we're there. We see, we get to discover the fullness of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. But like Peter, James, and John, we are just as confused as Jesus is transfigured and his clothes become dazzling white. First of all, how is that possible? And then is that really all that happens? You see, to me in this moment, it is a reminder of all of those Old Testament stories about the presence of God, where God comes forth as lightning and as clouds and as thunder and as brightness and all of those things. But this is also an actual occurrence of what we typically think of metaphorically as the light of Christ's love. We see that light in dazzling glory. We know that something is happening here, something momentous and something different than anything that we have been part of before. But as that transfiguration happens, as that dazzling glow is before us, it also gives now new and subtle weight to what Jesus has done before. These disciples weren't there for Jesus' baptism. We were, though. That's kind of cool, right? These disciples were called to follow. In fact, they dropped everything in order to follow. But they have also listened. As Jesus has proclaimed that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, they have watched as Jesus was teaching and curing, healing and helping, feeding and caring for all sorts of people. They have listened. As Jesus teaches about God's love, as Jesus teaches about prayer, as Jesus teaches about our responsibility for our neighbors. And recently, the story just before this in Mark's gospel, Jesus has made a declaration. He has declared that in Jerusalem, he was going to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified, and 3 days later rise. Now that was a hard pill for any of the disciples to swallow. But now Jesus stands before these three in all his divine glory. That bitter pill of who Jesus is and what Jesus will do is now endorsed by the glory of God, as well as the presence of Moses and Elijah. Now, these two heroes, Moses and Elijah, they represent God's relationship with humanity before Jesus. They represent redemption and deliverance, the law and the prophets. They represent that feeling to that compulsion to love God and love your neighbor as we remember the widows and the orphans and as we spend time afflicting the comfortable and comforting the afflicted. Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus. They comforted Jesus. They showed him how important he is in God's plan of salvation, and we are witness. Now we go back to Peter, James, and John, who were stunned and confused, and they were trying to think of something to say or do, and all that Peter could do was try to make that moment last as long as it could. "It is good, Lord, to be here," he said. "So let us now make booths or put up tents. We'll do anything and whatever it is that we can to make this last." Peter was, I think, beginning to understand that when this was over, Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. When this was over, all of those things that he had couldn't believe were going to start coming true. "It's good, Lord, to be here. Let us keep you here. Let us stay here, Lord." And as soon as he makes that proposal, the clouds descend. Another one of those amazing Old Testament moments about the presence of God. And that presence of God is made manifest through the voice. It's the same voice that spoke at Jesus' baptism, and now it speaks again, but it speaks to Peter, James, and John. It speaks to you and me, and it says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him." It's not about making that moment last for as long as it can. What this is all about, the entire moment, the dazzling white, the Elijah and Moses and all of it, it's all about following Jesus. You see, because the word in Greek that we translate as listen can also mean agree with or obey. It can also mean follow. This is what this entire moment is pointing towards. Jesus is the chosen one. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus is God's Son as well as being God the Son. And we are urged to listen, agree, obey, follow him, and thus change the world. Because no sooner than that voice is done talking, when Jesus leads the disciples and all of us back down the mountain, Jesus leads us back into life and living. Jesus leads us back to care for our neighbors. Jesus leads us back to his turning his face towards Jerusalem and his final confrontation with the devil, the world, and all of our sinful selves. Jesus has wanted us to see that moment. Jesus wants us to find strength from that moment of transfiguration. But more than that, Jesus wants us to follow him into lives of love and service, of care and mercy and peace for neighbors and strangers, for family and friends and even our enemies. Jesus wants us to see that what has come before in his life, as well as what is yet to come, and to discover the true depths of God's love for all people in all of those moments. When they were coming down the mountain, Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to tell no one what they had seen. They weren't supposed to talk about it until after the resurrection. Now, if you've been listening in Mark's gospel as we've been reading along, Jesus has made that same request to lots of people, all right? People who he has cured, from whom he has cast out unclean spirits, all kinds of people. And I don't think many of them lasted very long. I'm sure that Peter, James, and John tried, But this was too amazing. The disciples are going to come to them and say, what happened? What did you see? What's going on? All the rest of that. But you see, Jesus doesn't really ask us not to say anything. Because for us, it is already after the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And so we get to tell. We get to show and live. We get to proclaim however we can the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while that glory may have been shown briefly in the dazzling white of transfiguration, it is more fully shown in the love and the service, in the suffering and the death, in the rising from the dead that Jesus does to show us that God's love is truly ours. We get to shout this from the rooftops, as well as whisper it to those who need comfort. From a voice from the clouds, we have been told to listen to Jesus, to agree and to obey and to follow him. As Jesus' clothes became dazzling white, he shined with the glory of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's grace and peace for us all. We are now called upon to reflect that light, to shine with that borrowed glory, and to bring that love and forgiveness, that grace and peace with us wherever we go. It is good, Lord, to be here. And it is. But it is also good to go out in the world with hope so that God's vision for love and life can truly become our daily mission. Amen. Today, with the white pyramid, we usually consider this a festival Sunday. And so, in tune with this festival Sunday, let us now confess our faith using the creed we use on festivals, the Nicene Creed. Please rise. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for the church, that the transformational power of God enters the hearts of all people. May its leaders serve as examples of your grace and healing across time and space. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the creation, that we will humbly observe the swirl of wind and the heat, the bright sun. Teach us to honor all you have made and to care for the animals, plants, air, and bodies of water of this planet. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for those charged with leadership, lawmaking, and governance of our towns, states, and countries, that they will strive for goodness and justice all the days of their lives and calling. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for any who are sick and suffering, especially for these known to us. We pray for Roger, Judith, and Rhonda. Guide us to offer hospitality, shelter, friendship, and care to any in need. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this congregation and its ministry in the wider community. May we share the transforming beauty and love of God in ways that honor the dignity of all whom we encounter. Lord, in your mercy, trusting that all the saints, prophets, and those who die in faith are held in your care. We remember in thanksgiving those who have died. Especially today, we remember Paul Schreffler and Phil Olson. Grant us your gift of salvation as we await your coming again in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen, and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So while you're driving home singing the Alleluia chorus, because you're going to run out of chance to say Alleluias, I hope that you have a blessed week. I hope that you join us as we begin Lent on Wednesday. But more importantly, I want us all to go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
You are good. You are good.